responding to testing with trust. Next on The Balanced Word.
I know you feel like you're all alone. I know you feel like he's left you out to do it on your own. And you go, I'm blind, I'm weak, I'm poor, I can't do this. But he's right there. You're right under his sight. And he is saying, this is your test. This is something that is going to make you what you need to be. Don't ever forget that God is good and therefore that we can trust him. Don't run away from life. Don't run away from trials or tests. Embrace them. Move forward in them because God is good and he will test and you can trust.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
We're traveling through the Psalms one verse at a time here on The Balanced Word. Thank you for joining us as we do. Today, Pastor Dave Rolf has an eye on Psalms 11 and 12. You could be sure that trials and testings will come, and when they do, we do well to place our trust in the Lord. That's a much better way to go than trying to avoid or resist it. Here's Pastor Dave with more.
Psalm 11. This is another interesting psalm that talks about the testing that goes on as we go through trials and the response to testing, which should be trust. Whenever we find ourselves in a test, we can fight against it, we can try to avoid it, or we can lay ourselves open before God and just say, I trust you. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to trust you. And so he starts out, David says, in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? He's in a situation where people are saying, where probably deep inside himself, he feels like running away. You ever been there, going through a difficult time, and you just feel like, I've got to run away. I need to get out of here. I just need an escape. And there are times for just going off for a personal retreat with the Lord and things like that. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about just running away from your trials, from your problems, from your pain. Just feeling like shutting it all down and just leaving it behind and moving on. So often, that's our natural response. It's that fight or flight response to stress when you feel like you're all fought out. You've been fighting, all the fight is out of you, and you just want to take the last bit of your energy and just escape. You wish you could just be a piece of wallpaper in the room, just not involved, not having to interact with others, just like, oh, I need to get away so bad. And most people feel that. If you don't, you're young, you will. When we're young, you're ready to fight until you get beat up a bit, and then you just learn to run. Many people in their interpersonal relationships with others, because of being subjected to someone who's domineering or abusive, they learn to run from everyone and everything. You can see this in a personality where they're just curled up inside. They're not outgoing. They're not able to extend themselves to people. They've just learned, if I'm real quiet and I curl up in a little ball, nobody will notice me. This happens to people when they feel undesirable or rejected. It happens to people when they've just lived a life where they're a punching bag for someone, figuratively or literally. But the truth is, running away doesn't really help. You find out in relationships with people that when you run from them, they shoot you in the back. They'll chase you. They'll see it as a weakness, and they go there. Bullies will always pick on the people who run away the most. It's a challenge to them. David is acknowledging that, and he's saying, you know, hey, God, I'm going to trust you. But people are saying run away to the mountains, but hey, it's too late for that. They've got their bow and arrows already cocked. The weapons are already there. God, if you don't come through for me, I'm sunk. I have nowhere to run. There are some people who run from their problems by going into debt. We get in a difficult time and we think, boy, thank God for credit cards. Thank God that I still have some equity in my house. Thank God that I can still hit up some friends. But then sometimes that digs you into a deeper hole, and then you're saying, oh man, I don't even have any place to run now. I'm stuck. The cry of David here is, God, when I feel that way, help me not to run away. Help me to face the enemy knowing that I can trust you, knowing that you will be with me, that it's not over even if it looks like it's over. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. So, yeah, the situation looks bad, but God is still in his temple. God is still on the throne. He is still in control. And the truth is, though we may be surrounded by our enemies are surrounded by the armies of the Lord. And God knows what he's doing, and he will come through for us. It's interesting that, again, we see this theme in verse 4. His eyes behold, he sees. His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous. How often what we see as a devastating attack is really only a test, an opportunity for us to be affected and prepared by the work of God in our lives, and a chance for us to truly trust God. It's just a test. It's not the real thing. When I used to teach martial arts for so many years, after you teach people to defend themselves physically, you have to test them. And one of the ways that you test them is by surprising them, jumping them, attacking them. And it's kind of scary. One of the ways that we do it sometimes is that we'll blindfold a person, and then you'll have three or four people attack them. And you have to fight, and you can't see, and you look really sloppy. It's so easy to perform martial arts techniques when you know exactly what's going to happen. You know, it's pre-prepared. Somebody's coming in with a right step-through punch. And so you know you're ready for that attack, and you step forward and you jam it with an inward block and you follow through with a vertical punch, and you're able to execute your technique. The problem is when people attack you in real life, they don't say, okay, here goes. Are you ready? I'm going to do a right step-through punch, and you can perform five swords and put me on the ground. No, they usually have a way of attacking in different ways than what you think, in all different ways. And they usually don't telegraph their attack, and they usually jump out from the dark. And there isn't a way that you can completely be prepared except by testing in such a way that you can fend off any attack that can come. And God does the same thing with us. So often, it's so often just a simulation, and we don't realize that that's what it is. We don't see it for what it is. And so here God is testing us, and we're going, no, this hurts. Hey, it's not going to hurt nearly as much as if you don't learn how to protect yourself, if you don't learn how to defend yourself. It's one of the problems emotionally that happens to people who get so wounded that they almost can't function as adults, because all along in the small areas, they were never allowed to see that those are tests. Those are things that will help us to develop skills. Overly protective parents inflict a lot of problems on grown-ups, ultimately. Because as you protect your kids from tests that will come, when the real attack comes, when the real difficulties are there, you're not ready because you haven't been tested. You haven't been tried. How would you like to have heart surgery from someone who's never been tested on it? Oh, they read all the books, but they skipped medical school, and, you know, they're really cheap because of it, but they've never done it before. No one's ever really been there to guide them and to help them. And what happens so often is that when we choose to run, when we teach our kids to run, when we don't face difficulties, when we don't deal with things in a healthy way, problems tend to escalate. And so often, when we fail those small tests, the bigger tests come and we're going to fail even worse. And sometimes we just have to go back to square one and figure out, what was my first problem? What was my first way of escape? How did I avoid being honest? How did I avoid dealing with people in an open way? When did I start lying to myself? When did I start lying to other people? And go back to square one and accept the fact that you're going to be tested, and it's okay. And God is there, and He sees, He is watching you precisely as you are doing what you're doing. I think I might have told you the story before, but it's a true story, and I love it. There's a guy who's blind, and he tells the story of when he was feeling so sorry for himself. He was 13, 14 years old, and his dad just had this thing: I'm not going to baby you just because you're blind. You are going to learn to be normal. And his father was pretty tough on him. And one day his father told him, you're going to go put the storm windows on the house. Storm's coming and you're going to do it. He's going, I can't do that. I'm blind. He goes, yes, you can. And you're going to do it, or I'm not going to let you back in the house. And so he's crying and swearing and upset. And how could my dad do this? And he's stumbling through the garage and he finds the ladder and he's carrying it, banging it into things. And then he finally sets the ladder up and he begins to carry the storm windows out, tripping and falling and getting back up and so angry with his father. Finally, as he began to climb the ladder and nail on the storm windows, something changed a little bit. And he thought, I think I can do this. And his anger turned to an empowering sort of, wow, this is all right. I can do this. And all of a sudden, he didn't feel like that handicapped person that just couldn't do what normal people can do. But he was actually able to get the storm windows on. And later, he went to his mom and he said, I feel so bad for talking to Dad the way I did, because, you know, Dad was being really hard on me, but he said, I feel really good that I was able to do that. And I'm glad Dad pushed me into it. And the mom said, son, your dad was never more than 3 feet away from you the whole time you were doing it. And that's our God. I know you feel like you're all alone. I know you feel like He's left you out to do it on your own. And you go, I'm blind, I'm weak, I'm poor, I can't do this. But He's right there. You're right under His sight. And He is saying, this is your test. This is something that is going to make you what you need to be. We know that He's righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Don't ever forget that God is good, and therefore that we can trust Him. Don't run away from life. Don't run away from trials or tests. Embrace them. Move forward in them. Because God is good, and He will test, and you can trust. Psalm 12. So much for getting through 30 tonight. In Psalm 12, David, in this song, talks about speech and a couple of different kinds of speech, especially the speech of those who are able to use their tongue in a way that manipulates and controls. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. For some of you single women, I know you feel that way. God, are there no godly men left? Well, I have some news for you. There never were any. But for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. Oh, man, all this double talk, this idle talk. So much that comes out of people's mouths is just like it's idle. It's like it's idling. It's just coming out. Today I was down studying at my office that has the ocean view. Well, it's not exactly an office, it's a bench at the Montage Resort. But I was sitting there studying my Bible and praying about this study and spending time with the Lord. And when I came to sit down, there's a little point there and there's a kind of a gazebo. And the first bench, there was a guy that was sitting there by himself reading. And, you know, I just kind of noticed him. And I sat just on the next bench over. And I was probably 5 feet away from him, but there was a pillar between us. And I was just praying. And all of a sudden, he says really loud, hey! I thought, And then I thought, oh, he's probably has one of those cellular, those annoying ear things. But he didn't say anything else. And then after that, he goes, WAPO. And I'm going, huh. And then he doesn't say anything else. And I kind of look at him. I don't see anything. He's reading, you know. And then after a while, he goes, "Hey." I'm going, "Oh." And I'm going, "Wapo, I bet, huh?" And he goes, he says it like a warning, "Wapo." I'm like, "Hmm." And first I'm thinking, this is annoying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to go find someplace else to sit. But then I thought, the guy probably has Tourette syndrome or something and make him feel really bad if I leave because of it. So I'm going to just act like it's not bothering me and it's okay. So then he starts going, "Wapo, Wapo, oh, Wapo." I'm like, "Oh boy, I think this is more than Tourette's." Then he's saying, "Wapo, what are you doing, Wapo? You're a good boy, Wapo." And I'm like, "Oh man, it's an imaginary dog. This guy's really lost it." And then I'm thinking, we're right on the edge of a cliff. If this guy starts going crazy and I have to punch him and he goes over the cliff and I have to take care of Wapo for the rest of his life, it's just... And I was just about ready to leave, and he got up to leave. And I thought, "Oh, thanks, Lord, that's great." And I said, "Come on, Wapo." And so I look around, think I'm looking at the ground. There's no dog or anything. I'm going, "Wow, it's weird." Well, he gets down a little further and turns the corner. And I don't want to see him staring at me, but I wait a little bit. And then I look over, and he has a parrot on his shoulder. And I thought, "Oh, man." You know, but so often that's the speech that you hear. It's just like, "Hey, Wapo." And that's what he's going, all this idle speech. But it's flattering lips and a double heart, speaking with a forked tongue. He says, "May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, 'With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?'" Going, I am sick of hearing all the blabbing coming from this world, from people who think that they don't need God. And they're just blah, 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 blah. You ever have that feeling? Nowadays, most people who have television have lots of channels, either through cable or DirecTV or whatever. A lot of channels. But you get that feeling sometimes as you're flipping around, especially late at night, that there's 150 channels and nothing's on. It's just constantly talking. And we'll go to sleep with the TV on sometimes. I'll wake up and it's like a two-hour presentation on the Tempur-Pedic mattress. I'm thinking, how hard up could you be to be sitting? It puts her to sleep. That's great. I thank God for it. It's either that or Channel 40 does the job. But when... I'm thinking, does someone actually watch this? And then if you really want to get upset, just watch the news from the liberal perspective and look at it and just go, oh, man. And I'm sure if you're a liberal, you feel that same way about the guys on Fox News Channel also. But so much talk, so much double talk. And the idea is there's just too much noise. Why don't you get everyone to just shut up? But he goes on to say in verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. You will keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. 2 sets of words to listen to. The babbling and droning and nonsense of a world that can't make sense out of anything. And so we just listen. Talk radio, blah, 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 blah. The news, blah, 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 blah. Reality shows, blah, 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 blah. You know, Big Brother 6. It's one of the highest rated shows on television. I've managed about 5 minutes 3 different times. It's people sitting in a house talking about nothing. I mean, let's face it. What kind of people would have such a life that they can just leave everything and go live in a house with a bunch of other people to do nothing for months? These aren't the most fascinating people in the world. These aren't Nobel scientists. It's a bunch of people who couldn't get a job as a model or something, and so they're sinking one step lower. And on the other hand, here's God's word. It's like, why are we filling our heads with so much nonsense when God's words are so pure? And they're treasures and golden. And I love that he says, you'll keep them, O Lord. The words, the language, the talk that comes from God, he preserves it from this generation forever. Those things that you shared for 1 minute tonight, earlier in the service, As you shared something good that God has done, do you realize that God was listening in, that he was recording those conversations, that he treasures them in his heart? They will be preserved. The words that we speak as we thank God, as we praise him, as we glorify him, those words last forever. And yet all of the things that we care so much about, angels losing in the bottom of the ninth, 10-9, they had an opportunity to go 2 games up, and now they're just 1 game up, and who knows what they've done. But 3 or 4 years from now, it's not going to matter. But something that you processed in your mind that you said, here is something that God did that was good, and you share it with someone else, those are eternal words. Those matter. Those mean something. And so the psalmist, giving God credit, contrasting God's truth and his words with all the other stuff that you hear out there, and how refreshing is the truth, those golden and silver words of God.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Or again, call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Now let's dig into Psalm 13 for a minute or two.
Now in Psalm 13, he starts out with a question that I've asked many times before. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? He's frustrated. He's feeling like, God, I'm trusting you, I'm serving you, I'm doing what you tell me to do. If I knew anything more to do than what I'm doing, I'd do it if you'd just tell me. But God, it's taken a long time. How long is it going to be? We aren't very good at waiting. We're not very good at standing by. We want what we want, and we want it now. We become very impatient. So often when someone brings themselves to a position of resolution in their life for something, and the answer is, you're just going to have to wait on God. You're just going to have to see what he is doing. They will so often say, but how long do I wait? I was talking to someone yesterday who's really kind of fallen for this girl. And she is on an emotional roller coaster. And, you know, 1 minute she's, you know, in love with him, and the next minute she doesn't want anything to do with him. And I was telling him, sometimes you just have to wait around. And I was sharing with him how when I knew that God wanted me to marry Ann didn't know it. And who could blame her? But I just knew, I was so certain that I was willing to wait around. And as I was sharing that, he was saying, well, how long do you wait? I said, I don't know. I said, if God said to wait 5 years, would you wait 5 years? Yeah, I guess. Talked to him about Jacob having to wait for his wife for 14 years, really, to work for her. 7, and he got Leah and then got Rachel after that. And he didn't want to hear that. I don't either when I hear that kind of thing. But the truth is, we all need to wait because God's timing isn't ours. And what I would like him to do tonight, he probably won't do tonight.
Come back after the weekend when our study in the Psalms continues with Pastor Dave Roth here on The Balanced Word. This program is listener supported and brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up.